What's up, everybody? Hurricane Milton happened this week. Unfortunately, I am still without power, running the house off a generator. So I did not schedule a guest for this week. That being said, normally I'd just say, screw it, not put out an episode. But other than Hurricane Milton, something else kind of devastating happened this week, and I felt like doing a replay. I don't normally do replays. You guys know that. But this week I'm going to do a replay. I had the fortune of meeting Mark Palumbo 2 years ago at Gloss University at the Ring Brothers. Super cool dude. What stuck out to me was the fact that he was a hairdresser, on top of being a detailer. I thought that was, kind of a unique, combo, but at the same time, kind of like, why not? You know, it's, you know, we cut paint, he cuts hair, you know, that kind of thing. Had a great weekend with him, got to learn a little bit about him. Super chill guy. Fast forward to towards the end of last year, I got in touch with Mark. He reached out to us for Aquatech. He wanted to see what it was all about. He wanted to try us out. Got to talking to Mark. We realized kind of who we were. He said, you're the podcast guy. I was like, oh, you're the haircut guy. Got to talking. He came on as an installer. Again, you know, just great dude to talk to. I didn't know him super well, but, you know, when we chatted, we chatted. And then, you know, about a month and a half ago, I had him on the podcast. We talked for 2 hours. You know, he talked about how he got into the salon with his family, into detailing. You know, he really talked about his family, his two little girls. He loved those two little girls, his lovely wife. And then a couple of weeks after we did that podcast, I got the opportunity to spend a weekend with Mark in Georgia at Reds for the Aquatech training that we did there. You know, it was great. We had a blast. Me, Jason, Mark, and Ben Sewell, just had a great time, you know, talking about life, business, detailing. And again, man, you know, you could just tell how much he loved his family, his little girls. Sorry. So Thursday we had a hurricane down here in Florida. Thankfully we were okay. No damage to us or the house or anything like that, just power out. And I got a text message from Ian Musgrove up in Connecticut. He's just kind of like, hey man, wanted to check on you. Also wanted to let you know that Mark Palumbo died the other night. He was in a wrong way head on crash. I couldn't believe it. With all the devastation of the hurricane, you know, my like just everything kind of stopped for a second as I read that text. So I called Ian because I was like, dude, what? You know, like I just saw this guy like, you know, a month ago. Apparently Mark was just driving home from the salon. Somebody crossed the median. I think the report says that they were intoxicated. I'll just say allegedly intoxicated, or under the influence or something like that, but they crossed the median going the wrong way and hit Mark head on, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. So Mark leaves behind, a family, you know, loving wife, two beautiful little girls that adored him so much, and he adored them. So I wanted to replay Mark's episode for you guys. If you've listened to it, give it another listen. I'm also going to put the GoFundMe link in the show notes if you guys want to donate to help his family out. I think they've already, you know, met the goal, probably surpassed it, but that doesn't mean that still can't help. I'm going to put that in the show notes. And please enjoy this episode again. Maybe as little girls, when they grow up, will be able to go back and listen to this episode. Thanks, guys. Hey, buddy.
How we doing?
Good, man. How you been?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Busy?
Nah, it's in between. I was busy. It slowed down a little bit, but it's picking back up again.
That's good.
Yeah, it's crazy. The same shop Ian was at, that's the one they flew Noxie to do the class.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I'm like, just pissed by the boss owner, like, finally did it. I'm like, dude, I've been saying that for fucking 4 years. Like,
yeah, you're
kidding me. So I was a little sore. That hurt, but it's cool because we're going to Atlanta anyway. So
I think that's gonna be a blast. I mean, I'm excited for it. It's gonna be fun to show you guys the new coding and
yeah. I saw I don't know his full name. Drew, I guess.
Drew who?
He tried it. Yeah. He used it on a car. I saw it came out.
Yeah, we've sent it to a couple of people that, you know, been, you know, longtime users.
Yeah.
To kind of just get some feedback from them. I think Drew, I call him Drew Who. I don't know what his last name is either, but I know he's Drew Who on social media.
Yeah, that's how I know after people.
Yeah. But no, Drew's been using Aquatech, I think, almost since the beginning. I mean, like, he's back before I came on board as a sales rep or whatever. So he's a good dude. I think he might come to the training with us too.
Oh, cool.
I was talking to him last week or week before, and he was like 98% sure he was going to go, but then I haven't heard from him, and I don't think he's signed up yet, so I don't know if he's just waiting or what, but yeah, it'd be cool, because I know he's like, I've gotten to use it, but he's like, I want you guys to show me how to use it, you know, because it works a little differently. But dude, I think you're gonna love it. I think everybody's gonna love it. It's just gonna be that coding that makes life easier, dude. Because it's a true multi substrate coding,
right?
I always tell you can put any coating on glass or trim or wheels, but it's not really made for that. That's why we have a glass coating.
Right.
That's why we have wheel coatings. That's why we have trim coatings. But yeah, this is actually like paint, PPF, trim, glass, wheel. It's doing the job. And the cool thing about it on PPF is it doesn't like cloud up or get smeary or anything like a lot of coatings do. So we're having some good feedback with that on PPF. I've been using it since I started using it in March.
Right.
Like we got samples.
We were talking when you were playing with it back then.
Yeah. And you know, every car that I put it on, I haven't topped it with Bliss because I want to see, you know, how it performs. Yeah. Without, dude, I've been really impressed with it so far. It's super slick on its own. Has a real nice gloss to it and everything. So yeah, man, I'm excited for when we finally do release it. I think it's going to be that coating that everybody wants. And ultimately, like, you know, our idea behind it was not just to come out with another coating,
right,
but have a coating that is a way for you to make money in your shop, right? Like,
well, how long does it last on the wheels, like the other substrates?
So they're the chemist, I mean, and again, we have to, you know, we have to, you know, obviously see, you know, I mean, I'm what, from March to August now, what's that, 5 months?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 5 months in on a bunch of cars and haven't seen any dips yet on anything. It's supposed to be 2 years, you know, okay, or two plus. I mean, you know, we're going to rate it as a 2 year, but it's supposed to do two plus. But dude, it's, you know, it's going to be that thing. Like, we want to market it as, you know, this is your budget friendly coating. This is your introductory coating.
Right. This is your knock it out in a day coating.
Right. Exactly. This is your $800 to $1,200, yeah, whatever you can, you know, whatever you can get out of the client and, you know, do a quick one step polish and throw it on there, you know, right, quick 6-7 hour job and make, you know, $100 plus an hour. You know, especially now, like, it's getting harder to get those $1,500 plus jobs in a lot of markets, you know, especially when everybody's racing to the bottom anyway. So, yeah, that's going to be the cool thing about that coding is, you know, a lot of our marketing and everything, that we're going to kind of, you know, kind of quote unquote train with it is more about like, hey, this is how you make maximum money in one day, you know, kind of deal versus, right, like, it's just another coding. So, I think it'll be something that'll, really kind of, you know, at least for our installers, I think our installers will go crazy with it. I mean, honestly, like, I was never really big on offering, like, you know, an introductory style coding. I was just always like, right, whatever coding company I use, right, I was just always like, what's the best one? Like, and I'm just going to offer that and you get my best deal. But when I started playing around with this and I saw that for, you know, $1,000, $1,200 I could make in one day and people were happy with it. You know, to me, I was like, dude, this is the real way to make money. Like, forget the
that. And you also want the maintenance, you know, them to come back sooner, yep, because yeah, the retention is the hardest part. You slap on a 6 year coating, most of the time they're like, hey, all right, see you in, yeah, six. It's like, yeah, yeah, great. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's a lot of cars to make them come back. You know,
yeah,
you know, we do the same thing with the hair stuff. You know, if it's 6 weeks before your roots grow out, I got to get a full day, you know,
yeah,
and the next 6 weeks, and then it takes a long time to build that kind of thing. And if you're stacking, you know, years on some of these people don't take care of it like you think they're gonna. So, you know, you coat these cars, do all this correction, they go to the car wash and rip it through the thing, you're toast.
Right. You know, yeah, and exactly. And that's the thing I do like about 2 year coatings. You know, because
has a place.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I've talked to clients before. I mean, especially when I was doing C-Quartz Professional, which, you know, is a 2 year plus. I mean, realistically, right, it lasts a lot longer, but they market it as a 2 year plus.
Yeah.
You know, and I get a lot of clients that would, you know, ask me, like, well, how come you only offer a 2 year one? Why don't you offer a 6 or a 10 or a lifetime or whatever? You know, my thing was like, look, man, you just bought this car, right? You're like over the moon with it, right? You're going to do everything to take care of it, right? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, 8 months to a year in, you're right, going to be like,
fuck this car. Yeah.
You know, a year and a half in, it's going to have a ding or a scratch or something. Yeah. And you're going to be like, 2 years in, you're going to be running that bitch through the car wash every day. Like, you know, so let's just do these 2 years and let's just, you know, let's keep you.
Well, even that, know, even the cars that I put like the 9 year, whatever, nine, whatever year coating on it, they're coming back in a year spanked already. And it's like, how many times are you going to polish on top of the coating?
Yeah.
You know, eventually you're going to have to put it back on. So it's, you're never going to get, unless it's a show car, you're not going to get the, you know, however many years it says without having to fix something.
Yeah.
You know, somebody let a bird crap on it too long, water spots, you name it. There are, you know, issues with the coatings as well, like everything else.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, they're never bulletproof, you know, and it doesn't matter which brand you're using or whatever. They're all going to have some kind of, you know, issue to them or whatever.
No, but the reason why I keep using like in the Aqua is it's so fucking easy, man. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to sweat that it's going to flash on you and you're not gonna be able to get it off. It's super easy to use and the shine is just stupid.
Yeah,
everybody goes crazy. Like a client just wanted to do some white Chevy they just got. And I just did a Yukon, and so I showed it to her, and she was like, "Whoa!" She's like, "All right, I'm gonna call you." All right, sounds good. I'm like, but that's what it does, you know. And then he got caught in the rain, and he was like, "Dude, this is sick." So I like when they see it, you know, they can see it.
Yeah, because that's the hardest thing about selling a coating is you're trying to, like, you know, sell this magical,
I know, the unicorn thing,
right? Because it's because you can't really touch it, taste it, feel it, smell it, right? You can only see it, and you can't really see it until it's on the car. And so it's hard to, like, you know, like, you just gotta trust me, like, it's gonna be awesome, like, you'll get it, you know. And it's like, you know, I don't know. But you're right.
Usually, like, every time, you know, the ones that I do the coatings on, they come every time they get a car, they come right back.
Oh yeah. So
it definitely, when, you know, done right, it definitely works.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had a guy, last week. Yeah. Last week I did, I think it was last week. I don't know. The weeks are all starting to blend together now. Yeah. But yeah, I think it was last week. I did his wife's car, for him, and you know, he was kind of one of those talkers, you know, like, you know, if you do a good job on this one,
well, yeah, I'm gonna give you 10 more cars. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, okay, dude, like, whatever, you know. And I mean, obviously it came out looking, you know, really nice, you know, and it was pretty trash. I mean, like, dude, he was telling me, like, he spent like $600 on the dent guy coming out and taking out a bunch of dents all over it, because I don't know if he lives like in a townhome complex or apartment complex or something where they have to take the trash wherever. And he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, my kids just throw the trash bags on the hood and drive it down. And I'm like, oh. So he's like talking about all the dents. And then, like, you know, I get into it and the hood is just like all these deep, you know, scratches from the trash bag. So, you know, and he didn't want to do a full correction job with like sanding and all that stuff. So, you know, he got what he got. But he picked it up last Friday, and then on Saturday he messages me and he's like, hey man, the wife's car looks so good. He's like, I definitely want to get my truck done. What's your schedule looking like? And I was like, well, not till, you know, the first of the month. And I was like, because I had a couple of things this week that ended up getting rescheduled. So he was like, all right, well, I'm gonna be out of town the end of the month, so I'll hit you up when I get back. But, you know, same thing, dude. Like, they see it, they're blown away by it, and then it's like, okay, now I got to get, you know, the other one done or whatever. So
I love that. I mean, but, you know, the what I see right now, unfortunately, a lot is a lot of people interested, and then when you give them the tag, you know, they like radio silence,
nothing.
And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I had a lady just repainted the front end of her convertible Corvette. So that's got to cost, good money.
Oh, so yeah. She's like, well, how much done for, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'm like, well, how much for, she's like, well, how much for PPF on the front clip? And well, I said, I recommend the full. I don't like to see the line and you won't either. I was like, so do the full front end. I was like, and then we coat it on top, you know, correct the rest of the car, coat on top of it. You're looking at like $3,000. Nothing. And I went and broke down like how much the PPF is, how much it is to coat it, how much if you don't coat it, like the whole thing. And I just got TY. And I was like, wow. I was like, that sucks. But it is what it is. You can't get them all, but.
No.
It's funny to me that you'd pay, you're going to pay the $5,000 again to repaint the front bumper if you don't put something on it. Just simple. And they just they can't justify that. Some of them, not everyone, they can't justify that price to like be protected. And it's, you don't got to worry about it.
No. And I think, unfortunately with the, I think ever since COVID, I think, the industry is, kind of been on a downward trajectory in a sense of, a lot of people lost their jobs or decided they didn't want to go back to work, because they didn't want to like leave the house. And so, I think a lot of people got into this service type work, whether it's detailing, lawn care, cleaning houses, whatever. And you're starting to see, a influx in that over the past few years. And then again, like people just don't have the knowledge or the training or the experience to charge appropriately. So, I think what a lot of it comes down to is these clients or potential clients or whatever, they hear from their buddy like, oh man, I got my car ceramic coated and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, well, I got to get my car ceramic coated. And they don't know that, to do it right, it should be $1,500 plus, $1,200 plus, whatever, they just think it's, it's a car wash service, it's like going down and getting a $59.99 hand wax or whatever, and I so know, they pull up all gung-ho about it. And then you tell them and then they're like, ooh, I wasn't expecting all that, and that's fine. I tell people all the time, like that's just not my client then,
I thankfully, again, because of the hair stuff, I just move on. I don't sweat. Yeah. It's the same kind of thing. It happens all the time.
Yeah. I try to tell my buddies, you really don't want those clients anyways, because, it happened to one of my buddies not too long ago. And I told him, I was like, dude, he did a, crazy discount for somebody. And then, the guy came back and was expecting the $2,000 job for, $1,000 or whatever, and it was like, what about this? What about that? How come this? How come that? And I was like, that's why you don't. Like when people only have X amount of dollars and it's the most money they've ever spent on their car, they're going to be nitpicky about it. You get that person that's done their research and they go like, oh, it costs $2,000 to do a ceramic coating. Well, cool. This guy's, $1,800. Awesome. They come back. Holy shit. Car looks awesome. Here you go. Here's your money. Hop in it. Leave. Those are the best clients, the ones that know, and
that already did the research.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same with hair too. I mean, people know like to get a legit haircut, you're spending hundreds of dollars, if you want.
Well, we in our salon, we're a tiered system. So it goes by experience and your availability. And I've been there for 24 years, so my prices are high. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not going down the same kind of thing, but getting a $10 cut.
Yeah, but we're a family salon, so that because of the tier, I've lost people just because they don't want to pay that much.
Yeah,
and it is what it is.
That's crazy. How did you get into that?
All right, so I had I used to ride motorcycles.
Okay,
and I had a motorcycle accident. Actually, I had an accident with an ex girlfriend. We were going around a corner and she started to lean towards the guardrail. So I was going to hit the guardrail and I grabbed the front brake and we went flying over the handlebars. Oh, so we had an accident. ended up being all right. I put the bike back together and kept riding. Well, one day I was going home and a car cut me off, and I had to leave the bike, and she ran over the bike and I slid to the side of the road, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I was supposed to leave for motorcycle mechanic school in Florida, and I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go do hair, because I grew up in the business.
Right.
My father owned it my whole life, so I've always been around it, but I didn't want to do it because every time you see a male in the hair industry, they're usually gay. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. But then when I used to paint houses, drive a tow truck, work as a prep cook, I did like all these jobs, and I was like, dude, I could do one job, work in air conditioning, and work with chicks all day. Done. Yeah. That's how I got into it. I was like,
yeah, from startup shops to seasoned pros, we tailor high-octane websites that resonate with your customers and showcase your expertise. Yeah, Justin Lobato of JL Showroom Auto Salon says, detailer's roadmap supercharge my leads. Custom writing, incredible customer care, and a road to success paved with expertise. Detailer's Roadmap knows how to supercharge your digital presence. It's your turn to rev up your business. Visit detailersroadmap.com. Leave the competition in the rear view mirror. Ooh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do that. So I went, and my sister, right out of high school, she's 3 years younger, went right into hair school. So she's been doing it for 25 years and I've been doing it for 24 because I went like right after.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to ride the motorcycle anymore. So I stopped for 3 years and I didn't ride. 3 years into hairdressing, I started making a lot of money. And I was like, time to go get another bike. So I started riding again. And then I rode for 20 years after that. Okay. And then when my second daughter was born, or no, I'm sorry. When my first daughter was born, I stopped riding.
Gotcha.
It's when you ride a motorcycle, it's not a question of if you're going to crash, it's when.
Right.
It's just the reality.
I
hate to say it, but that shit humbles you real quick. I've seen a lot of people die, get hurt. People just don't pay attention. I love it. I miss it, but it's not worth it right now.
Yeah.
You know, I need good friends of ours that I rode with for many years. They're an older couple. They just got taken out last week, head-on collision. An 85-year-old guy blew through the stop sign, and they're in rough shape. But it's messed up. So it was awesome. It's hard to stop something you're really passionate about. But bikes and cars are how I got into detailing, because the bike I did all the maintenance and that's what it started on.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I got into it.
So how long into hairdressing then did you start getting into cars? Detailing? Yeah.
2018.
Okay.
2017 too, but I went with a partner with a shop in 2018. He did the mechanical and I did all the detailing. Because of the hair salon, and it's you know, my family, so I own them, gonna own them. I can't leave that side of the business. So
right.
This was nice that I could just go my 3 days a week, pound out some detailing and, you know, get in and out. And that's kind of how it started. And then I did that for 2 years, but because there's so much overhead, I was, you know, renting a space, and it was just by myself. There was no one else doing the detailing. It was easier to go work for someone. So that's when I went to Straight Jacket or SJ Shop, CP, whatever it is. So I went there and was their head detailer for 2 years. And then when my daughter was born, my second daughter, it was just easier to go work at home than to, you know, work, because I couldn't give them more hours and they weren't going to pay me more. So it was easier to just control everything from home. And I set up the garage to do it here and been doing it now for almost 2 years now at home. Cool. Or actually 2.5 years now.
Yeah, that's cool. So how hard is it to juggle between the clients at the salon and then clients detailing?
It's really hard.
Yeah.
because, you know, that's the thing with detailing, and you know this, it's not a quick thing.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it to do it right. And plus being, you know, self-taught and then taking classes, like it's trying to, once you figure out what you're doing, it's trying to maximize and make yourself more efficient and faster so you could make the money. Because it's at the end of the day, it's about making money. And
right.
But it, for me, it's a passion. I like doing it. So my hardest thing is when to say enough. Like, dude, it ain't coming out. Like, or that's as shiny as it's gonna get, or that's what we're paying for, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, the controlling my OCD is the absolute hardest thing because I just have that eye. So what happened was the reason why I got into detailing was in 2017, I had the Mustang repainted.
Okay.
And we did all kinds of custom work to it. And the guy was a nasty painter and customized or fabricator. I mean, just did crazy shit to my car. But he was like every idiot savant. He like was late on the deadline. I had to have the car done for this show. And so I had to cut and buff it. I had never touched a rotary machine before in my life. That thing was like, whoo! I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And he's like, no, man, you gotta go. Like, so he taught me how to use the rotary. So I learned how to, that's what started it. And then I ended up rolling this car to a show. It didn't have molding on it or nothing. And I'm sitting there fucking hand doing in the car, trying to get it ready for the show. And I got it done, but holy shit. But that was the journey. That's how it started. And I was like, okay, I could do this. So I started just I went to the body shop and picked up a bunch of hoods and just fucked them up. I just sanded the shit out of them to see what happens when you burn through and just tried to figure it out as best as I could. So I went in 2019 to
Gloss U. That's where we met, right?
Wait, nope. Was that 19? First I went. No. We met in 2022.
2020. Yeah, that's right.
First I went. I'm confused on the order I did it in. First in 2019 in January. Yeah, that's what it is. In January 2019, I went to G Technic and got certified.
Okay.
And then in September, I flew out to Washington and trained with the Shine Doctor and Jason Kilmer.
Okay.
And then that really holy crap, that class set me. Oh, and actually David Patterson was there. Everybody was there for that because it was the first time when they hosted the big one.
Yeah.
With a lot of students. So I was there for that and I learned a stupid amount and that just pushed my business and got me faster. And then I did it again with you guys in 2022.
Yeah, that's
right. And that just fit with Gloss U, and that just, again, pushed it even more. And so now I'm just thirsty for classes. So it doesn't, whenever I can do it, you know, I try to do one a year without my wife killing me. But Yeah. Because it's a lot juggling two, because I have two salons. It's not just one. It's two different salons and then doing this. And I split my time, you know, between everything. Look, there's 24 hours in a day. I only sleep six of them. So if not, I'm in the garage, you know, so.
Gotcha.
I try to, it gets done, but it's rough. I can only handle so much, but that's kind of what's nice about being home. So I try to do if I have a coding job, it's like one a week. If I have details, I could jam out a couple in my 3 days. So
right.
It depends.
And at least you're home. So you're still around the family or you're.
That's what's huge. I think that's I'm sorry, man. Family's everything. The money could wait. I'll grind and push it when they don't want me around. But for now, you got to be there. It's just important. And I'm 5 minutes from the salon. You know, it's right around the corner. So when I have gaps in my day, I'll run home and do a car real quick or deliver it or whatever. I make it happen. But it's a juggling act.
No, that's cool. So let's ask a controversial question here. Who is the better trainer, Shine Doctor or Noxie?
Oh, you're killing me. Well, it's not fair because
you just say Shine Doctor. It's okay. You could just say Shine Doctor. No, it's okay.
I didn't get a one-on-one with the Shine Doctor. There were so many people there. Okay. I had spent more time that day with Jason Kilmer, when we were doing the wet standings. I had never done that, and then I snuck over and watched him. He sanded a charger and ripped out the rotary, so I was watching a section, but that class was hard because we were huddled in little groups all over the place, so I you couldn't like soak up just one. There was just so many people training there that day. So it's not fair to say.
Gotcha.
But
I was hoping
you'd they're both nasty. And I'm pissed that they're doing it. I was so pissed when they posted like, "Oh, make an announcement." And I'm like, "Son of a bitch! I know exactly what you're gonna say." And I was like, "That sucks." Yeah.
Dude,
like, I feel like I blew my load early on that one.
Because I was messaging Noxie and
especially at his facility. I'm like, dude, I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to get pretty
it's perfectly the same, fine. I know, I'm not really worried. It just,
it's much easier to fly
to Atlanta than to Seattle.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's funny because, you know, when they were like, you know, this Saturday or whatever, I was like, "What are you guys doing?" And he's like, he like sends me a text back. He's like, "I believe that there's a date and a time for the announcement." And I was like, "Shut the fuck up, dude." I was like, "You guys are doing a training." And he's like, "I don't know." I was like, either that, or I was like, "You guys decided to launch your own line of products. It's going to be called."
I know it was one of the two, the Noxie
Shine or something like that. I said, or whatever. And he's like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Shut up, dude." I was like, You're doing a training. I was like, "How much is this training going to cost?" And he's like, "I don't know." And I'm like, "Dude, like,"
well, you know, that's the other thing that, I mean, that's steep, but dude, you got to, for those two, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think that's great. I mean, you know, it was a limited thing and,
They're gonna get a good class. But it looks like they're gonna do another one again because I think they're already taking like pre-sales or whatever for the next.
They'll be busy for a while if they.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing pre-sales or just sign-ups, but I know they have something where, you know, you can, you know, get your name on a list for whenever they do the next one or whatever. I was a little bummed that it is like a month after the one that we're doing up there, because I would have liked to gone to that one like I did for the Angel Wax Jess Car training, just to go and do some podcasting and you know, obviously hang out and whatnot. And I'm sure Noxie would have, you know, invited me to come do that. But it's just, you know, it's so close after the.
I know that's no way
it's just too hard for me to try and like, you know, pull that off or whatever.
Well, that's the thing with everything juggling and the being around. It's really hard to get. That's why I couldn't get away for the gloss one, and then we had a death in the family, so we had to deal with that. So it wasn't a good time, but it's hard. And then luckily the Aquatech one came up. So
yeah,
you know, it works out. It works out, but it's hard to, you know, chip away.
Yeah, it's hard too, because a lot of times you don't know, you know, it's not like at the beginning of the year, everybody releases their schedule of when they're trainings, right? You know, so you like might plan for this one or that one. And then like, something else comes up and you're like, "Oh, I would have rather done that one," you know, kind of thing.
But it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm still happy with the choice because one, I want to see finally, you know, meet everybody from the Aquatech and then do see the new coding, and it's at his place anyway. So that's awesome.
It's a
win-win. I'm pumped, man. I can't wait. Yeah, I tried to drag my wife to it. I was like, "Babe, they got a pool. Just hang out until we're done." But she's like, "Yeah." She doesn't. We haven't gone that far from the girls yet. We've only been like, we went out to Newport for our anniversary, and then, you know, just one day we're inching into it slowly.
Yeah. Are you staying at the Hilton?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a pretty nice little hotel.
It popped up on the thing, and I just. Did it.
You know, because that's the one Noxie always tells me to stay out every time that I've gone up there, and it's not cheap. But what I did was I called them up and I said, you know, "Hey, look, you know, we're gonna be, you know, hosting this training down the road. Like, you know, we might need, you know, 6, maybe 8 rooms or something, just depending on how many people show up." And the guy's like, "Ah, well, you don't really fall under the, you know, block, you know, yeah. kind of deal. But he's like, I'll tell you what, he's like, I'll give you a link that'll save you, you know, anywhere between 12 and 15%, just depending on, you know, the day or whatever. And I was like, oh, dude, that'll be perfect. And so, like, I was looking at him, and like, that weekend's only like $200 a night. And I was like, Jesus, dude, when I went there for the Angel Wax, I think it was like $290, $300 a night. So I was like, hell yeah, this is way better deal. You know, plus it's really pretty there. They have a real nice golf course, like right out the back that like, and you can see like the mountains and everything. I mean, I say that cause I'm from Florida where everything's flat. So seeing mountains is kind of cool every night.
Yeah, you know, me and my buddies used to talk about that when we used to ride, because we'd be like, fuck Florida, man. I can't deal with the straight roads. It's nuts. I need turns.
Yeah, exactly. So everything's flat, yeah. straight here. Yeah.
Well, my wife and I, we go to Clearwater and Tampa to visit my father every year. We go in October. So we'll be doing that again. And I do a lot of driving.
Yeah.
So, yep, I get my Florida fill every year.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you come down when it's slightly cooler.
Oh, hell yeah. I ain't trying to go down in the humidity. I'll die. Yeah. No, I'm melt. We get it bad here, but Florida's a different level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was talking with Ian earlier from Autofiber, because this is my second podcast tonight, although yours is going to come out before his does. And it's another part of the education series, talking all about microfibers and everything. And Ian was talking about the new triple towels that he's coming out with. So like the new Dreadnought Max, I don't know if you've used that yet or not. I've got one here. So basically,
for a drying towel.
Yeah, what it's kind of different is it's actually the two towels sewn together, but it's got like another towel in the middle, so it helps absorb. And he was talking about, like, you know, with a traditional Dreadnought that's just two towels, a lot of times, you know, if you've got a really wet car, like it actually like weeps through to the other side.
Yeah.
And he's like, with the barrier in the middle, it's almost kind of like the saver applicators, right? Like it weeps into that middle layer and doesn't go into the other one. So he's like, realistically, you could dry a whole car and then flip the towel over and then like do the windows or whatever. And I was like, yeah, or like I do down here where I dry the car with one side and then wipe my face with the other side. And he goes, yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just because it's so damn humid down here. It's ridiculous. But yeah, what do you prefer one over the other, the salon or the detailing? I mean,
you don't want to know. Yeah, no, I like the detailing. It's more peaceful for me.
That's what I was going to say. It's more, because
the hair industry is 90% bullshit and 10% skill. And I always had the 90% skill and 10% bullshit. So it took me my whole career to figure it out. So it's not easy for me, because I can't lie. If I don't like it, you'll know.
Yeah.
So it's rough, and that the girls don't want to hear that. They want to feel beautiful. It's really hard. But I'm good at what I do. So I've had to learn how to say things tactfully, or, you know, whatever image they have in their mind, you got to put it on their head. And sometimes it ain't gonna happen.
Just don't work. Yeah.
Nah, it's just, there's no magic wand to weave. I can't make you look pretty if you're already, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I'm only working with what I got here. But yeah, it's fun though. But it's also fun, and I have, like, you know, my niece just started doing it. She just graduated hair school, so she started working with us. It's fun to, like, I'm the crazy uncle, and they, you know, they see me work, and they're just like, how? Because I'm really fast at what I do. I'm efficient and I get it done. It's like it's just how it worked over time. It's how I knew I was supposed to be doing it, because you don't have to try it. It just happened.
Yeah.
The car stuff is different. It came naturally, but there's so much more to learn, like the substrates and the paints and the this, and I learned about the fluff and the paint and the, like, Jesus Christ, it's fun for me. I just like soak it up like a sponge. Right. So it's still very interesting. Not that I haven't, I've traveled around the country teaching here and being on stage. I used to be a platform artist, so I'm comfortable teaching. So now that my niece is there, I am showing them a lot of stuff because the schools aren't really geared to show these kids what to do. They kind of just get you to pass your license and then kind of kick you out on the curb and you figure it out. And it takes about 2 years to get into your own groove and stop messing up really things.
Yeah,
it takes a while. The industry is flooded with hairdressers. Just there's not a lot of good ones, you know. And
yeah,
I don't even, which is weird. Like I had an Instagram page for my car, and I had, you know, and it got huge, and it was organic, and then it got hacked, and then now my page is, you know, like I don't even think I have 700 followers, but I had like 6,000, and it was all organically done. The hair page, I don't even think I have 250. I just don't post it. I don't know why. I never promote it. I just let the old school word of mouth run. And eventually they either hear about me or they come in. It's been busy. I'm sure I'd always like to pump it up, but those are the things that suffer running, you know, two salons and a thing. I don't have time to post a lot of stuff.
Auto Fiber is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Auto Fiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order.
Right.
Because I'm still like paying attention to all the stuff that happens with the car stuff and finding new things. Like I saw when Aquatech first popped up and I was like, ooh, what is that shit? And then you know, it led me right to like you guys again. And I was like, holy shit. So it's just trying to, I don't know, keep your head on a swivel on all different things and just keep following what you're interested in. But it's hard to juggle them. But I love the hair and I'm good at it. And doing the cars has actually helped me appreciate the hair more and not get burnt out as much.
Yeah, because it gives you that something to kind of take your mind off or do something.
Yeah, well, you
different.
Just, you know, you get into the groove on these things and you just pound it out, you know.
Yeah, and they are kind of similar in the sense, like you were saying, right? Like you really kind of rely on word of mouth, because in the detailing industry, that's
a
big way of how.
Well, that's how I got 90% of my clients were from going to car shows and them seeing the car and
how to make
it. Send, shiny, yeah.
Send somebody off with a nice hairdo, and you know,
oh, same thing. Ooh, who did that? I don't know. I mean, I suck at even promoting the detailing stuff online. I'm the same way too. I feel like you can only do so many things, and I don't know. I like some of this stuff, but some of the shit you see is bullshit.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way too. I tell people all the time I'm a scroller, not a poster. I'll get on and scroll and look at stuff and see what people are doing and
I barely ever comment or watch different videos
or things like that. But when it comes to like posting my own stuff, like I just never really know what to say. And of course, everything's about the algorithm and like the right keywords or SEO.
I know, and I don't know organic at all.
Exactly. Really so don't. Like, you know, I just sometimes I'll put something on there that looks good and I'll just be like, you know, whatever, you know, and then I just do like hashtag detail, hashtag detail, hashtag, you know. Like,
well, I used to do that for the Mustang when I posted it, right? And I'd post the car and I'd get like 400 likes, right? And then I'd post like a picture of whatever, me doing something or whatever, 20. I'm like, what the fuck? So I got frustrated with it and I just stopped. I don't even care. I'll randomly throw things up just for me, but I don't do it.
And the other thing I've noticed too about a lot of things is because I do it is, and I got called out on it one time, is, you know, I'll just like a picture to like a picture. You know, sometimes if it's a buddy of mine, I'm like, you get a like today. And that's where I got called out on it. One of my buddies posted something and I liked it. I didn't read the post. And then the conversation came up later And they were like asking me about it. And I was like, dude, no, I didn't hear about that. Or, you know, I didn't see that or whatever. And they're like, really? Cause you liked the fucking post. And I was like, bro, I'm gonna be honest with you. I saw the picture. I liked it because of the picture. I didn't read the post, you know, like, you know, so.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. We were dealing with the social media stuff with the salon today. Cause one of the, a girl that used to work in the salon broke her hand and had to have like crazy surgery. And she went to another salon and got her hair blown out when she couldn't use her hands, and then decided to quit our salon, work at this new one.
Uh-huh.
So supposedly she's posted this huge post saying that when her clients called the salon, we said that we don't know where she is and that she's not doing hair anymore because of the severity of her hand. And we didn't say that, but went through this like whole rant. And then now people are going nuts, like trash in the salon, and like Google them and Yelp them. No, you know, like scumbags, all this stuff. It's crazy. Jeez. So yeah, it's fun. So we always having to deal with something, but I told everyone at the salon, or my father and my sister and all, everyone involved, I'm like, don't say anything. Let it go. Cause if you say anything, it's just going to ignite the fire. It will die in 2 days and it'll be old news. Just let it ride.
Yeah.
It's getting nasty, but just let it go. And it just sucks. Cause you have someone that now affects whatever you have between, you know, my father, the owner, and her. You now pushed it onto everybody that's there.
That's in
the salon. Now it affects everyone that's there. Yeah. And that's not fair to them.
But yeah. Yeah. And it sucks. Some media. People just, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Social media, it's the worst thing. The worst thing and best thing ever, I guess.
I hate it
so much, but like, you know, without social media, a lot of my really good friends, I would never know.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, because of social media, the right. car page, this, I wouldn't have met and been able to train with all these, you know, crazy people. That's how I met them all.
Yeah, Noxie and I wouldn't be best buds, bestest friends, had it not been for social media. You know, I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't know you because I wouldn't have gone to Gloss University to meet you. Right. Like, you know, I mean,
saying. I would have never gotten there. You know,
it's pretty cool.
So it definitely has its place, and it's definitely a useful tool. But
it's kind of a necessary evil, I think. You know, I think you just kind of have to. You know, be careful of how much you're on it or how much you read into it or how much you post on it and things like that. And that's why over the past like couple of years, I've really kind of pulled back from a lot of my posting. I mean, I probably post more about the podcast than I do anything else. Like I really don't post a lot on my personal page anymore. Usually unless it's about Haley or something that she's done, cheerleading or, you know, in school or something like that. I just don't post my opinions or my views because, you know, the last thing I want is, you know, then somebody has, I don't want to get into those online arguments, you know, where it's just, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what my, you know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, I used to love the saying, you know, everybody's got a, or opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one and yours stinks. I heard one recently that I think I liked a little bit better now.
I never heard the and yours stinks.
You never heard that one?
The ending. I know the first part. I never heard in yours stinks.
Yeah.
I
heard another one recently that I think I like a little bit better. It was like, opinions are like a mixtape and I'm not going to listen to yours.
That's pretty good too.
You know, so, you know, to me, there's no sense in like posting my, you know, opinions or beliefs or thoughts or whatever on there that, you know, it's just going to get in this day and age, it's just going to get somebody riled up and then they're going to
always,
you know, they're going to put their opinion on it. And then of course I'm going to be the person like, oh, well you commented on my page. So
when
buckle up buttercup, right? Cause we're going to go at it. So now there's been so many times that I've typed out like a post, a thought, an opinion or whatever. And it's like, you know, send it. And I'm like, hit that little X button, delete post. Cause I'm like, you know, I type it out and I'm like, what is this really going to do? Right? Like it's me getting my feelings or my frustration off, but I know this is going to just bring a bunch of
more,
a backlash to it or whatever. Yeah. So even with my detailing stuff, like I just got tired of the whole, show and shine stuff. So now I don't even really post a lot of my detail stuff unless, I'm, saying, hey, the new Aquatech, whatever, we put Freestyle on this or the new Synth Pro or something like that, and I'm putting it in, groups that maybe will, help the brand or, something, it's more of a, not just a, hey, look at me. It's a, hey, check out this product kind of thing. But yeah, other than that, man, all I'm doing is posting up links to the podcast is all I pretty much post anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah. I had a, my daughter was standing when she was a baby. She was, I took her to her first Cars and Coffee, and she was standing on my steering wheel, playing.
Yeah.
And some lady commented in German that my kid should be taken away and who would let their kid do that in a car? And I was like, I wanted to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
First of all, keys are in the car. And obviously I'm sitting there videoing her. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? She's a baby. Like, what the fuck? And the E breaks up. It's in first. Like,
cool. Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't say anything, but literally commented. And I went down the rabbit hole looking, who I am? Who are you?
Yeah,
it was some nobody. And then I had someone who speaks German. I was like, what does that fucking say? So they told me, and I was like, that's fucked up. I was like, well, whatever. So there's always someone chirping, regardless of what you post.
Yeah.
So I'm very rarely say anything or make comments. Or even when I put the picture or something, I'm very selective as to what I try to say, because I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because
you never know. You could be like, oh, man, the sun is out and shining bright today. And somebody will be like, oh, well, you got to be such an asshole. You know, the sun's out. No,
yeah, so hell yeah, I don't get into any of that.
Yeah. It's
and I definitely try not to respond, because I got it one time. Some kid said something and I went back, and then they blocked me or something, or, banned me. And I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, you know what? So I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that. I've definitely done that to a few groups that I was in, and just they became kind of toxic or negative, and so I left the group. And there's been a few detailers or even just people that I knew outside of detailing or whatever that. I was tired of seeing, negative posts every day, or, they were always just combative or something. So, I've just gone through and blocked, because, I've gotten into that whole negativity feeds negativity, and
exactly.
I used to, there was some people when I first got into this industry that, before I even really knew a lot about, Facebook groups or things like that. Like some people that were local, but they were just so negative about, this, that, and the other, and you hang around them long enough and you're like, yeah, fuck that guy, fuck that product, fuck that machine, And at the end of the day, I'm like, why do I care what that, product or machine or whatever?
Yeah. I try
to
bring that and just,
what
I like,
Cut that negativity out, man. I don't want to be around people that are just sourpusses all day long. Like, fucking life's hard enough already. I don't need you bringing me down too. So yeah, I've definitely gotten out of a lot of groups that have, had that, or just, deleted friends and blocked people so that I don't have to see it anymore. And I try to encircle myself with, people that are trying to bring themselves up, because they're going to bring me up, and maybe I can help, it's the whole, rising tides, raises all ships, if we're all trying to do it together kind of thing. So yeah, just again, social media,
Yeah, you live and die by the sword. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess, I'd prefer to just not have to have it. You know,
I know it was much easier. I'm super interested to see what'll happen if, you know, God forbid the, you know, whatever, the system goes down for a week, yeah, or whatever, you can't, yeah, use your cell phone. I mean, I want to know how many people are going to lose their friggin' marbles.
Oh,
like, I still don't know how to make a fire, find higher ground, like, you know,
yeah,
fish, whatever. Like, I have survival skills. I'm super interested to see all the techie, plugged in people, what's going to happen if the shit hits the fan.
Right. Yeah. Let me see.
Just because it's like, I don't know. You know, there's something nice about it, just unplugging and sitting outside and just listening to the cricket. Stupid, just the simple, just super, yeah, simple.
Exactly. That's like, so I saw this Instagram post today and it says, this day and age of parenting is just different. Could I parent my kids without giving them screen time? Sure, I could. I could also churn my own butter, but let's not get crazy. You know?
Yeah, that screen time is evil, man.
Yeah,
we definitely tried to limit it because you can see the behavioral differences.
Yeah,
and since since you saw me 2 years ago, I went down the rabbit hole with food. I'm down like 30 pounds.
Oh, nice!
I just cut out processed food and basically all the shit they put in. The rabbit hole led me all the way back to 1911. So, that's when they started messing with us.
Yeah,
putting shit in our food. So, yeah,
I know
it's been an interesting journey.
No, so that's
watching the girls. You could definitely see when they eat certain stuff the behavioral differences. Yeah. It's interesting, well, you know, that, and then you add the screen time and
yeah, and
it is actually true.
We had to do that with Haley, you know, a few years back. She's gotten a little bit better about it now.
The screen time,
yeah, you know, we would notice, like, you know, when, you know, and this was like, I would say this was between like the ages of like 8 and 12, right? She would just get, you know, like an attitude or whatever. And granted, I mean, like, she's not on like, the only thing she's really on is TikTok, and we have her, you know, kind of parental advisory, yeah, TikTok on, you know, so she's, I mean, I'm sure there's still some stuff slipping through, but not, you know, all the stuff. Like, it's still mostly for her, it's, you know, kids doing dances, or, yeah, you know, teens doing dances or whatever kind of thing, or you know, cat videos and things like that. But, you know, we would notice, like, you know, okay, she's, you know, she's kind of getting a little sassy pants, getting attitude, you know, whatever. So we would do that where we would take the phone away from her during the week while she was in school. You know, she could come home and she could, you know, get on, or she could watch TV if she wanted to, you know, but we wouldn't let her, that was big. It was also Roblox and Minecraft. She was playing that a lot too.
Oh yeah, so, that was a big thing.
You know, so we would just start limiting her screen time. You know, when she got out of school, she could have it for an hour or so, and then that was it. We take the phone away, and then for the rest of the night, she could just watch TV or play or whatever. And we'd only give it back to her on the weekend. And I'll tell you what, man, like, you know, the first day or two would really suck because, you know, she'd be, yeah, even more pissy or whatever.
Yeah.
But like by Wednesday or whatever, like, she'd be like this perfect kid again, you know, like, she'd got real good attitude, like, no back talking, whatever. And then you give her the phone on the weekend, she's very appreciative, she's very thankful, you know. Mm-hmm. So we would have to go through cycles where, you know, we would do that every now and then where we would just, okay, like, you're getting, you know, a bit much with the attitude, where you lose the phone now, you know, or you only get it during this time or whatever. And, you know, thankfully now, I mean, being 15, you know, she's on her phone a lot because obviously that's what 15-year-olds do. But, you know, she's so busy with school and then the cheerleading and everything that, you know, that she doesn't, we don't have to take it away from her because she's not really giving us an attitude. She's, you know, straight A student in school. She's, you know, doing the cheerleading thing.
She's doing her job. She's being
You know, I mean, and the cheerleading thing, sometimes we don't get home till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, you know, and she's getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and still going to school and no issues, no problems, still, you know, good grades and all that stuff. So we haven't really had an attitude issue with her lately to have to, you know, pull the phone away or whatever, but, you know, still always kind of keep that in the back pocket, you know?
Yeah, you gotta,
you know,
you gotta have an upper hand as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things, but you know, yeah, kind of like what that Instagram, you know, thing said, like, you know, yeah, I mean, could we go back to no screen time? Absolutely. We could. Do I want to be tortured and tormented? No, I don't. Like, that's the problem. Like, listen, man, I get why my parents were probably so crabby all the time. They come home from work, all they wanted to do is sit down and rest, and you know, they got me and my sister running around being crazy or whatever because we, you know, we didn't have screen time. Yeah, we didn't have screen time other than TV, and you know, TV wasn't much back then. But yeah, dude, I mean, it's funny, like, a week or two ago, and I don't know what it was. Like, dude, she wasn't talking to any of her friends, like, at night. Like, she would just sit in her room, and half the time she wasn't even on her phone. She was watching Netflix, you know, just watching whatever TV show she was watching or whatever. And she'd come out and, you know, I say bother me, but really she was just being, you know, playful teenager. She'd come out and, you know, give me some shit or whatever. And, you know, and I'm just trying to relax, watch TV. I'm like, why are you out here? You don't ever come out here with me. You don't ever, you know, what's going on? Like, why aren't you talking to your friends? I don't know. I don't want to. And it's crazy. Like, I told Michelle, I was like, man, like, you know, like, it sucks. Because then she'd also go in the bedroom. Michelle was watching something in the bedroom. She'd go in there and bother the shit out of Michelle, you know, and take the TV. Michelle would be like right in the middle watching TV, and Haley be like, no, I want to watch something with you. And she'd change the channel. And, you know, so I told Michelle, I said, you know, I said, she's kind of being a pain in the ass a little bit. I said, but I like that she's not like on the phone all night with her friends. Like, she's actually like coming out and interacting.
Yeah, hanging out with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, now granted, it's not like, hey, let's watch something together. You know, it's like, be a pain in the ass about it, but it was still nice, you know, to have that, like, you know, actually come out and chill with us and everything. And I asked her, I was like, are all your friends like out somewhere or whatever? She's like, I don't know. She's like, I just don't feel like talking to anybody right now. And I was like, you're still cool with everybody? She's like, yeah, I talk in school. I don't need to talk to him tonight, you know? And I was like, okay. Dude, she was like going to bed super early. Like, I'm like, where did this kid come from all of a sudden? You know, like,
would they stay like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's been doing pretty good so far this school year. You know, with, you know, she doesn't
do you fight. Do you guys start earlier than us? When did you guys start? Like, they just started this week.
Yeah, no, we started, what was it? I think like around the 10th, the 10th or the 12th or something that is.
Oh, no, they just started this week. Tuesday was the first day around here. And then some of them don't start till.
Yeah, I think it was the
Tuesday of next week.
Yeah, it was the 12th. Because
they go past the Labor Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was the 12th that they started.
Auto Fiber is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Auto Fiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order.
Her and her friend went to the football game, and so my wife had to take them because I had this. Yeah, for some reason, like, the way that, I don't know why, but for some reason, the way that our phones are set up on the family plan, for some reason, Michelle and Haley can't text each other for some reason. I don't know. It's weird.
Crazy.
Dude, yeah, it's so weird. So, like, Haley usually has to text me, or if she's texting Michelle, she has to do it through, like, Snapchat or something. So Michelle's
that's crazy. I never heard of that
before. Yeah, and I don't know what it is. Like, we've tried to figure it out. Like, I think it's because, which is still weird, but I think it's because Michelle is, like, has Haley's phone link. So, you know, for parental, we could, like, she can see the texts that, like, her and her friends are sending back and forth. So we make sure no funny business going on or whatever.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But for some reason, because of that, they can't text each other. I don't know why. If anybody's listening to this and knows why, feel free to message me or reach out to me and let me know why that is. So Haley just sent me a text and asked if I could come and get her. So.
I was just breaking my wife's bones because one of my, you know, other passions, I love football. I was
a big
football player. So okay. I live in the town where I went to high school and played. So okay. It's my alumni. One of the kids that I played high school football with is now the head coach. So I like taking my daughter to the games, but my little one wasn't old enough last year. So now she is, because now I have two car seats in the Mustang and they come everywhere with me. And I'm like, babe, how am I going to pull off taking them to the game? I got to do both. And I was like, you're going to have to come. And she was like, we'll do one game. And already my daughter was like, Daddy, we go to the football game soon. So she's 3 and a half and she already knows it's not football season. It's awesome. Dude, so it's hilarious. And she loves going.
No, that's awesome. I wish when Haley was younger, she would sit and watch football with me. But now she's like, oh, football's on.
Well, that's why I'm trying to like, you know, catch it now, because I know I'm going to get that soon. I'm going to get the no football, you know.
Right. But I mean, now
she likes it.
Yeah, it's, you know, she's like, she's like, Dad's going to be on the couch all day watching football. It's like, hell yeah, can't wait for tomorrow, baby.
Week 1,
let's go.
Finally, I can't wait. Although last year really set me off, because all the betting, I feel like it's really changed the game and the way they play.
Yeah, the whole NIL deal, too, is, it's, you know, everybody just jumping from team to team to team.
It's just crazy. You don't even, I love the Giants, follow the Giants my whole life. I don't even know who they have the normal do that. Can't wait for them to leave. But, I don't even know half the guys. It's like, it's crazy. And that goes for almost every professional sport now, whether it's baseball. I don't watch anymore. I don't even know who plays on the freaking Yankees, and I've been a Yankee fan my whole life. Like, after Jeter, we went to Jeter's like final game, and ever since then, I pretty much never watched again. The game's just not the same for me. Basketball's not the same. Just they're all different.
It's crazy, man. I mean, I saw something. I don't know if it was last night when I was watching, like, the lead up to the Colorado game, and they were doing, you know, like the college, because it's not game day, because game day is tomorrow, but they were doing like college live or whatever the hour before, and I forget the guy's name they were talking about, but this guy has played like since 2020, right? So he's in his fourth year or fifth year or whatever. He's played quarterback at 4 different schools. Because he just keeps entering the transfer portal, because, like, doesn't do good at one school and goes to the next. I think, like, the first school he started at, he was, I think, like, the backup, or he didn't get to play much. So he entered the transfer portal, went to, like, a lesser known school, and then entered the transfer. And it's like, you know, come on. You know what I mean? Like, but I'll tell you what, they were talking about two guys that play for I forget the school. It was a smaller school, but both of these kids, because I think they're like supposedly like really good players on the team. They were both offered $600,000 each in NIL money to enter the transfer portal, and both of them said no. It's not about the money for us. we want to play and we want to, you know, we're starters on this team, and they're like, you know, putting up crazy numbers. I think one was one's a quarterback and one's a receiver or whatever, you know. So like, yeah, they might not, you know, play in the college football championships or, you know, whatever, but they're starters on this team and they'll put up stupid numbers and it'll, you know, make their draft stock look better or whatever. So I thought that was cool that there are a couple of kids out there that are like,
still smart enough to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's what you get when they finally go up to the NFL, you get thuds because they only shined at a school for one season and you're like, oh, he's good. Crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, look how many Heisman Trophy winner quarterbacks end up being good. It ends up being the last guy picked in the draft ends up being a Super Bowl quarterback as a rookie. Like,
right. And he's still, you know what I mean? He's still not getting paid.
I know, it's wild. But then, and then you have this, you know, these other characters that are paid all this money and they suck. It's but I don't know. It's just a different game. The thing that set me off last year was the Ravens were number one for rushing and Kansas City was horrible at the rush defense.
Yeah.
So why did you run six times? It's football. Even if you know I'm going to run, you still jam it down their throat. Like, I don't get it.
The
the fewest amount of times they ran all season was 17. So you went from 17 to 6, and you still almost beat them.
Yeah.
It's just – it's that's the kind of shit as a player, like a former player, and, like, love the game that you see, and you're like, what are you doing?
Makes you want to, like, beat your head against the wall.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you did that on purpose. It's like when Seattle was driving down to beat the Patriots, and
Lynch is running it in,
Marshawn Lynch. He's dragging people down the field. So on the 1 yard line, you throw the ball. Like, what are you doing? Like,
exactly.
It makes no sense. It just, you can't make this shit. The only thing I could possibly think of is it's the money. It's the betting. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's influenced. It's changed the game. It's different. Because there was a Sunday where five guys or a bunch of teams, three different teams had losing records, all playing winning teams. They all won. Oh, okay. Like, when does that ever happen?
Exactly.
It's stuff like that.
Yeah, it's I think it's definitely going to be, you know, I guess interesting going forward with the whole betting and the NIL and all that stuff, which although it's kind of funny, like I think it's, you know, some of the things with the NIL, you know, I think, you know, especially like Saban, you know, before he retired and talking about how NIL was going to ruin college football because, you know, people were just going to, you know, transfer for the money and this and that, you know, when you've got, oh God, who was it? Not LaDainian Tomlinson, the other Eric Dickerson, running back for the Chargers way back when or whatever, famously, and I believe it was him. So I don't know if I quote it wrong or whatever, but he famously said when he went to the NFL, he took a pay cut. You know, so, I mean, like, it's not like, I mean, the NIL is like, now it's just out in the open what they're getting paid. But I mean, it's obviously something we've known all along.
Forever.
You know, that they were getting paid under the table somehow, some way by boosters. And of course, it was.
Yeah, or endorsements or car. Yeah, used to see it all the time. Because every once in a while, one of them would get in trouble for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just so funny when, and like I said, I believe it was Dickerson that said that he took a pay cut when he went to the NFL.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, too bad. I tell people all the time, too bad Haley did cheerleading because it's the one fucking sport that doesn't do scholarships for college.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we got the wrong thing. Yeah. Like if you do get a scholarship, it's like maybe enough money to pay for your books. Like you're not getting a full ride at Miami for cheerleading, you know, like you know, it's like here's some money for some Chiclets or whatever, you know.
My niece coaches a competitive cheerleading school, like gym.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, they've been doing really well. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, she works there with one of her so I know the whole yep. cheerleading thing. So
yeah.
At least there's something for the girls, like after, you know, school and stuff, because the sport kind of dies after.
Yeah. And I mean, there's, you know, she could always go into, you know, coaching at a gym. I mean, she could get into, you know, cheering at a college. You know, she won't get a scholarship for it. So, you know, thankfully she's getting the straight A's, because hopefully then she can get, you know, scholarship money, you know, through the education part or whatever. But yeah, I mean, she could definitely go and continue doing it as a coach afterwards. And that's the cool thing about cheerleading with a lot of the coaches is, you know, obviously it's not a full-time gig for them. And most cheer gyms don't, like, classes or practices don't start until, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock. So a lot of the coaches that we know, you know, they'll work a full-time job, you know, 8 to 4 or 8 to 3 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a supplemental thing.
Yeah. And then they'll come and they'll coach a team because they love the sport. They did it, you know, since they were little or whatever. Yep. And
that's kind of how this girl that, owns the gym with my meet.
Okay.
That's kind of how she got into it. I think she was actually a professional cheerleader for the Patriots at one point.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, went to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. But even that's kind of more dance than actual.
Yeah, it is. Like, it is. Like it's a kind of.
Yeah. Cause they're not really doing. Yeah. They're not doing the stunting. And that's what my daughter, I mean, you know, Haley's.
Oh, no, this one does. They do the flying and the thing and they incorporate it all. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what my niece is not allowed to do, because she has like a condition where if she hits her head or whatever, she'll like literally bleed out. So she had to stop flying, but she was a flyer.
Wow. Yeah.
But now she just ended up using her skills for coaching and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was always really, really good at it.
Yeah. It's always scary. You know, thankfully Haley's always had, you know, really good coaches and really, really good bases under her. She has been dropped a few times, but not too bad. There's only been one time and it's crazy, cause we didn't even like, it didn't even register to us. You know, there was one time, when she was younger, she was probably like 7 or 8, that she got dropped pretty good. You know, and we didn't even think about it that she could have been, you know, concussed. You know, she did say she had a little bit of a headache when she came home, and, you know, we just didn't put 2 and 2 together. And then like, we were at the next practice and the mom of the girl who was one of her bases was like, man, you know, and I forget her name. She was like, she went home the other night and she was just so upset with herself. She was crying. And I was like, why? And she goes, cause, you know, she let Haley drop, because that's, you know, that's the thing. Like, you don't let your flyers drop, like, no matter what, you're supposed to catch them. And she's like, she couldn't catch her and she let her drop and she was just worried about her. And I was like, oh, she was okay. I mean, she had a little bit of a headache. She goes, do you think she had a concussion? And I was like, I didn't until you just said so. Now I think she might have had one, you know, because she did say that her head hurt. She did say that she felt a little nauseous. She said that the lights bothered her. I didn't put 2 and 2 together at the time. Like, kid, you're concussed. You know, we probably should take you to the hospital. But thankfully, you know, obviously nothing really bad happened. But yeah, it's funny. For all this stuff that she does, the one thing that scares her the most is the baskets when they throw them up into the, you know, up into the air and they have to like twist around and then hope that you get caught. That's the one thing that she hates doing the most. And it's funny because the coaches always want her to do it. And so she's always like reluctantly doing it. And I'm like, Haley, they're not going to drop you. You'll be fine. She's like, yeah, but if they do, and I'm like, don't go head first. try to angle, you know,
keep your head up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'd rather deal with like a, you know, an ankle injury than a head injury. So, you know,
any day.
Yeah. But it's, Yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes is scary to watch. You know, and we've been to a lot of events where, you know, we've seen some pretty crazy injuries from athletes, and you know, just yeah. thank God nothing's ever happened to her. But I mean, it happens in all sports. So
yeah.
I talked to one lady that her daughter played soccer and had like two ACL tears, you know, and you know, in high school soccer. Yeah.
Not even. I was playing pickup football. I have a screw in my wrist. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, backyard football. I broke a tackle and my friend jumped on my back and I went to put my hand down. My wrist just snapped. So I kept playing and then my wrist like blew up and I was like, I think I got to go home. I think I broke my wrist. So and my buddy, I had a standard car and he's like, you want me to drive? And I was like, no, I got it.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, but it's lock on wood. It's the only bone I ever broke. But
yeah,
I had to like, you know, like, play football with it all. And the bottom half of my hand is numb. So I can't like feel down there.
Oh, but, wow. So you had nerve damage with it.
Yeah, but yeah. I was able to. I'm used to it now. I don't really think about it until you like touch it or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you can feel like it feels different down there, but it took a long time to get the strength back. That was a long. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Thankfully, yeah, I've gotten banged up a lot. I'm like a crash test dummy.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, when I broke my wrist a couple of years ago, like, thankfully, it was a clean break, first of all, and then secondly, it healed up, you know, really, really well for, you know, especially being older, because I think I was 49 when that happened. So, you know, thankfully it healed up and I don't, you know, I don't have any issues with it. Like it doesn't, you know, especially using machines a lot and being right-handed, you know, using right hand for everything, like the machines or, you know, leveling or wiping, you know, anything. I don't have any aches or pains or I don't, you know, feel it like, oh, it's going to rain. My wrist is hurting today. You know, like I don't have any of that. So
well, the only thing that was bad for detailing was I broke the tip of my middle finger in October last year. And literally I was cleaning like a carpet and just scrubbing it and it just snapped. And I was like, what was that? And I take my finger out and it was just hanging. I was like, oh shit. So yeah, that was fun. And then everyone was like, how'd you do that? So I had to like cut it with a broken tip. I had this brace on. I'm like, cut it. So I've had to adapt a million times, but yeah. So
that's crazy.
I'm super psyched that it's healed.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you were like reaching up underneath the seat cleaning or something and jammed it or jabbed it on the seat rail or whatever.
That's I was literally just scrubbing times. And it just hit something. It just, it sounded like I cracked my knuckles and it was just hanging. And I was like, what the fuck? Ugh. And then the hand surgeon that I saw, he's like, oh yeah, it happens all the time. He's like, I was like, what? He's like, yeah, just wear this brace for 8 weeks. You're good. I was like, that's it. And he's like, that's it. And I was like, okay. And that was it. And it did heal. It freaked me out because I thought I was going to have like a bent finger forever because
it totally
felt like it wasn't connected anymore.
Wow. But
it went back and I could use it. So,
That's a little,
well, that's the other thing that's scary too is, you know, both jobs, I got to use my hands.
Yeah.
My hands are the moneymaker, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was another big thing with riding and, you know, you got to be careful.
No, definitely. If I get
lumped up, I'm out.
Yeah, and I was very appreciative of my my orthopedic surgeon when I had to go see the orthopedic surgeon, even though I didn't need surgery. But you know, you got to go see the orthopedic surgeon when I broke my wrist because he's like, "What do you do for a living?" And I was like, "I own my own business." He's like, "It's not what I asked you. What do you do for a living?" And I was like, "I detail." He's like, "Okay." He's like, "So if I put you in a cast, could you still detail?" And I was like, ooh. He's like, all right, well, I don't want you losing any money. Let's put you in a brace. If it hurts, stop working. If it doesn't hurt, keep working. And I was like, sweet. So I didn't, you know, miss a beat. Other than the only thing that sucked, and I got made fun of for it, was because I was working on a big F450 dually truck. That's how I broke my wrist. I stepped off the step ladder from doing the hood and stepped on the connection for my cord, and my feet slipped out from underneath me. And you know, so kind of like you said, right? You put your hand down to brace yourself, because I was holding my Rupes machine. Instead of dropping that bitch, you know, I tried to save it, put my hand down. But yeah, the funny thing was, when I went back the next day, I couldn't, you know, like, I could hold the machine, but I couldn't pull the trigger and then like twist my wrist to get my thumb to lock the button, right? Because I was in the brace. So what I'd have to do is I'd have to hold my right hand on the horn and pull the trigger with my left hand and lock it, and then switch over and grab it. Yeah, the normal way. So it was a little cumbersome, but dude, you know, adapt and make work, you know.
Always adapting.
Still finished that job and every job that I had to do for the next 6 weeks after that, until it was healed up enough that he said, yeah, you can start wearing the brace now. And I was like, sweet. So yeah, now I, you know, got three machines hanging on the wall now. So now if anything like that ever happens again, I just drop a machine. Like, Rupes machines can be fixed.
I'm not trying to
heal up from broken bones or anything like that anymore. So yeah. Not trying to do it. Well, listen, man, I had fun doing this.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you coming on, dude. I've been wanting to ask you for a while, and I just kind of, it's kind of one of those, you know, like, wait for the right time. And I was like, okay, man, I'm going to reach out Mark and you know, see if he's got some time. So, dude, I'm excited to hang out with you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be good stuff.
Learn some stuff, have some fun. You know, hopefully.
I'll be in on Friday in the early afternoon.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what time we're all like supposed to meet for the meet and greet thing or whatever, but I'm sure.
I think it's whenever me and Jason's flights both get in at 7:45. So
at night or the morning?
Morning.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, I'm starting to regret it now because my flight's a 6 o'clock flight, and so that means I have to get up at like 3 or 3:30 because I need to be out the door by 3:45, 4 o'clock. I'm like 45 minutes, an hour away from OIA, and then I mean I do have pre-check, TSA pre-check, so hopefully I just cruise through, but OIA is one of those you never know. You know, you might go there at what you think is nobody's going to be there, and you know the line's a mile long. So I just
have to worry about the weather because it's a tiny ass little airport that you literally walk out on the tarmac and
get on the plane.
Novello thing.
Nice.
So, and they only do one flight a day because that plane comes back. So it goes there and then it comes back and that's it.
That's why
Sunday I had to take the earlier flight because they don't. One's Monday. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. Yeah.
No. And I think, you know, I think it'll be cool because, you know, Saturday is going to be Noxie doing his thing anyways. And I know that's, you know, a big part, even though you've kind of already done, I know that's a big part of what you want to do. And then Sunday, you know, it's not a very big class anyway. So Sunday we'll come in and we'll knock out freestyle early before you have to go, and give you a taste of it and all that fun stuff, and let you play around with it a little bit with everybody else. And then you know, I'm probably gonna go over, I don't know what all Jason's gonna send. I know I told him I wanted him to send some clarity because there's been you know, some questions about, you know, how to how to do clarity. So I want to do clarity on the windshield and show everybody kind of the right way. Bliss. You know, we've had some people really kind of question Bliss. So I want to.
Well, I think I saw Jen do it. And I don't. Tell me if I'm mistaken. Did she put it the coating on and then put Bliss right over it and then wipe the whole thing off?
No.
Because then I've seen both.
No, I hope she didn't do that. No, I think she leveled the coating and then, but she does it weird. She does it like two-handed. So like with her right hand, and I guess she's just ambidextrous with it. Like I'm not, but watching her weirds me out with it. Like she applies it with her right hand and then immediately comes with her left hand and removes it, which I just can't do that. I'm not talented enough. You know, so the way that I do it is I just apply it and then grab my towel and, level it down.
That's right.
I mean, it's really easy to do, but we've had some people that are like a little unsure. So Mike did a video. I don't know if you saw the video. Mike did a video the other day, to put up there just to kind of show. So yeah, I think we'll kind of do that. And then I don't know if he's going to bring some Synth Pro, the new stuff that dropped today. I mean, that's pretty easy. It's a spray on sealant, but it is a little bit thicker. So if you don't, you know, really kind of, you know, buff it off or level it down, it can, like most, spray on sealants, it'll get streaky, you know, or leave a high spot or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what else. I mean, that'll probably be it. So, I mean, we'll probably just play around with that stuff and, you know, finish coating the car or whatever that Noxie gets as a demo car. And then Jason's going to have a rental car. So maybe if we need to do anything else, we'll throw it on the rental car. And then by the time you need to leave, because you need to leave, what, like around noon or something?
I think so. I think my flight's at 2. So something like that. I gotta look again, but somewhere in there.
Yeah, probably need to leave my car.
Because how far is the airport from?
From Marietta, yeah, I mean, if there's no traffic in Atlanta, like through downtown, like 30 minutes or so. If there's traffic, probably 45. And then, of course, Atlanta is just a big ass airport to get pain in the ass to get through. I hate that airport. It's so
fun. Yeah, I've been there a couple times for the hair stuff.
Yeah, it's just no fun.
Yeah, I'll get it knocked out. I'm sure it'll be.
Summer. we'll make sure whatever you want to know, we'll do in the morning before you have to leave. We'll make sure that you have all the stuff you want to know or whatever. I think what Jason's going to do is so that everybody doesn't have to worry about traveling with.
You're going to ship them.
Bottles. Yeah. I think what he's going to do is, because what I told him to do is ship it Thursday before he leaves. So that way, by the time you get home on Monday, it should be there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So then that way you'll have, you know, whatever. And then we'll have like the swag bag stuff. We've got some pretty cool bags. They made up some pretty cool bags for us to throw some little swag stuff in, like stuff you'll be able to take on the plane. So at least you'll have some there. Awesome. So, yeah. All right, buddy. Well, listen, man.
Good. I appreciate it.
Starting to get a little bit late, so I know it's late for you. I got to get up and wash some cars tomorrow morning before college football starts.
Tomorrow it's just fluffing hair. Tomorrow's Saturday, so we do. I'm in at 8:00 to 3:30. So.
Oh, okay.
A lot of hair, and then usually what I'll do is Saturday. Sunday, usually they'll drop off the car, and that's when I prep it and
get
it done by, you know, a couple of days. So
nice.
That's usually how I string them together. Sometimes I sneak one in on a Saturday if the wife's not paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
as many as you can, too. It depends if it's a big truck or not. I need more time. Yeah. I appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
Oh, no problem, man. Yeah, definitely good talking to you, man. I'm excited to hang out with you again. It was fun meeting you at Gloucester University and everything. We had a good time there. So, yeah, man, have a safe trip when you come down, and we'll talk soon, buddy.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, man. Take care.
Later, bro. All right,
bye.